Michael Klein is an economist at Tufts University and founder and executive editor of EconoFact.org. Michael, what does Davos represent to you?
Well, Davos is a meeting of the elites, although that's a rather vague term, where I think, you know, people honestly would like to do better for the world. There's probably some self-interest involved as well. But there are a lot of problems that transcend national borders. And I think one of the things that people are trying to do there is to think about those. So, for example, if you think about disease, the AIDS epidemic, malaria in Africa, things like that, those are some of the things that people there have talked about. And there are clearly lots of challenges that we're facing. So this is one perspective, only one, but it's one perspective that then gets a lot of attention.
Let me get another perspective from Anand Giridharadas. He's the author of Winners Take All, A Critique of the Global Elite. Anand is in New York. What does Davos represent to you?
A family reunion for the plutocratic elite that broke the world. To me, it's extraordinary. I mean, I have called for this to be the final Davos. I think there are other forums or other types of forums for international cooperation for the reasons just mentioned that we could imagine. But this particular one is not a general forum of all kinds of people around the world. It is a meeting of plutocratic business people. I think half or more are business people who pay enormous amounts of money to be there. And then the other half are kind of handpicked and often relatively safer members of civil society, journalists, and others. But this is a group of people who have been consistently meeting over the years for decades now, talking about how they're going to make the world a better place. Yet more and more data seems to suggest, and I think many of your listeners would understand from their own lives, that in this very era in which the plutocratic elite in the United States and elsewhere has been talking about making the world a better place and coming together to solve problems, it is they who have actually been monopolizing the fruits of the future. 82% of new wealth generated in 2017 went to the global top 1%. So we're living in this moment which the very people who've caused so many people to feel alienated, angry, like they can't make lives in the societies that they live in, these people are getting together to celebrate themselves in Davos. And frankly, they are the problem, not the solution.
Well, I suspect you would say that ending Davos would not end global inequality. Michael Klein, do you see a global system in need of fundamental change?
Well, certainly there are a lot of challenges in the world. Inequality is one of them. But, you know, while that's true, we also have to think of the fact that over the last generation and a half or so, 800 million people have been raised out of poverty. And child mortality has gone, infant mortality has gone down, life expectancy has gone up. And I'm not sure that, you know, as much high profile as Davos gets, I'm not sure that that's really steering where the world is going. There are clearly a lot of problems, like in the United States, with issues of Citizens United and dark money in campaigns. I wouldn't necessarily put Davos in the same box as Citizens United.
I mean, there has been significant change, Anand Giridharadas. There is still a lot of inequality, as I know you see it, but there are a lot of people who now have running water in toilets that didn't have them 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, people always bring that up, and I got to say, I was there. I was there. I was a foreign correspondent for The New York Times in India in the period when that was happening in the 2000s, and it's a remarkable story. But I think, you know, what is the lesson of it? Well, the reality is India and China got out of their own way in the 80s and the 90s and moved away from failed social experiments. So my only argument is that, yeah, that reduction is terrific. But in that same period, does anybody doubt that here in the United States, we are moving closer and closer if we're not already in oligarchic levels of inequality? Does anybody doubt that Britain and many other Western European countries are in that same situation? I mean,
Do you doubt that?
Well, certainly, you know, there's a lot of evidence that inequality is rising. The question is, what is the source of that? And I think that there are a lot of government failures. Why are those arising? So, Anand, I guess you would suggest that it has to do with the power of lobbying. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. But, you know, to paint all elites as the same, there's several aspects of that. One is that it could very well be that some of what they're doing is self-serving. But I wouldn't put, like, you know, the Koch brothers and those billionaires who are trying to promote greater environmentalism in the same box. I think that's much too broad a paintbrush that you're using for that.
Anand, last question for you. What you were just sketching out a moment ago, what would it take for all that to happen? Do you see some kind of, like, French Revolution part deux?
I hope this doesn't have to go the way of the French Revolution. I mean, look, I once read in a book that history is full of the story of distributions of power that seem totally reasonable until one day they seem insane. Throughout history, you think of the feudal era giving way to a more democratic era. You think about an era in which, you know, very few people questioned why women couldn't vote, to an era in which it was soon unthinkable that women couldn't vote. You think about segregation being normal to people, and then suddenly it was not normal. You think about the progress we've made on LGBT rights. The reality is we have lived for about 30, 40 years in an era defined by a veneration of markets and a kind of supremacy of capital. And history has kind of swings. And I think that's been an extreme tendency in our age. And when I see a lot of the movement around the world, when I talk to people in Britain, where I was last week, when I talk to people in this country, where I do most of my reporting, I think most people, most average people, I think some of us in more pointy-headed spaces and in the media are sometimes the last to know. Most regular people I meet out there in the country, in Ohio and Iowa and elsewhere, are fully aware of the fact that the way they've been working, the way their bosses have been treating them, the way that this country has been failing to translate innovation into progress in their lives, something is due to change.
Anand Giridharadas, the author of Winners Take All. Also, Michael Klein, an economist at Tufts University and founder and executive editor of Econofact.org. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.